Just Korach, Tufshin Ayin Hey. All right, so here's what we're dealing with. We have four psukim that we're going to be concentrating on. Perek Tzayin, all of them. The psukim are Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Vayikach Halos L'Dabar is called Rima'ela, but Yivoko Adon Asher Tachteim. After Moshe Rabbeinu had finished speaking all of these words, after he had said what was going to happen, the entire land split underneath the people. The people, the land split completely. V'titach Aretz Hispia, the land opened up its mouth. V'tiblo Samez Batim Es Kol Adam Asher Korach Es Kol Rechush. It swallowed up them and their houses and all the people that Korach had and all of their money as well. Took all of them completely. They went down and everything they had went to the grave. Really, Sheolah is referring to Gehenna. But the land covered them up completely. They were all lost from among everybody. All B'nai Yisrael that were around them, they ran when they heard the sound because they said, maybe the land is going to swallow us up. Now we're all aware that Dothan and Abiram were swallowed up by the ground and their families, as well as Korach's family and everything, right? So we know about that, right? We know that happened. Here's what we're going to ask. There's three things. Number one, why did that have to happen? Why was it such a shocker? Why did it have to be in such a way? That's number one. Our second thing is going to be, what exactly were the people running away from? And the third thing, which we're not really going to get into today as much, is what exactly does it mean that the land swallowed them up? What exactly does that mean? How do we understand that? So Rashi brings up the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rashi says the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take advantage of the mouth of the land. The mouth of the land, the Pia Aretz, was created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. It's a Bria. It was created on its own. It was created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, and it was made only in order to punish these evil people. It was just made for that purpose without any other reason for it, and that was that. It was just made for this reason, for there to be a punishment. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says it was cursed ever since it opened up its mouth in the first place. And remember when it opened up its mouth in the first place? By Hevel. Swallowing up Hevel's blood, it's saying Shira from the Knafayim, from the edges, because it wouldn't have a mouth anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away its mouth when its mouth went ahead and swallowed up the blood of Hevel. Moshe asked for it to have its tikkun, to swallow up the enemies of Hashem like it had swallowed up the blood of Hevel. You took in the blood of Hevel and you killed Hevel? Fine. Swallow up something else instead. Allow that to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it a koach, some type of a koach, and the people were able to stay alive even though they went down to Gehenna alive. That's what ended up happening with there. Now we have to understand the Mida Keneged Mida. That's what happened to Zohar Chaim HaKadosh. What exactly was that Mida Keneged Mida? So the Kli Yakar tells us the Mida Keneged Mida is they felt they didn't need a leader, that they didn't need somebody in charge, there didn't need to be anybody there. They could take care of themselves because they're so intrinsically holy. The fact is, this is a fact of life. Every Jew feels this way. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do. I can do it on my own. I'm perfectly fine on my own. In Avos Perek Gimel Pasuk Beis, we're told, Il Malei Mora'a Ishes Re'u Chaim Bla'o. Without the fear of a government, without the fear of a police body that would be in charge, people would swallow themselves alive. If you don't have a government, if you think you can take care of yourself, you won't. You will be swallowed alive and the whole world will be destroyed in front of you. For that, the Kli Yakar says, instead of eating each other, you get the Mida Keneged Mida? This earth swallowed up them, ate up them. They were supposed to be eaten up, in other words, eat up each other for not having a leader. Therefore, instead, the land swallowed them up. The Kedushas lady says a different type of Mida Keneged Mida. If anybody knows a little bit about, let's say, the Hasidus, we'll call it, Moshe Rabbeinu was from a land, an area called Dibor. Everything he concentrated on was Dibor. Yoshua concentrated on Asiya, on the world of doing, grabbing something. The people that were there denied that Moshe Rabbeinu had any ability to do anything anymore. He couldn't fight the wars when they came to Eretz Yisrael. He had no ability to do. He only had the ability to speak, to be able to tell them what to do, to learn Torah, but he didn't have the ability to do anything. For that, as a side note, it was wrong. Who killed Og Melech HaBashan? Moshe Rabbeinu himself jumped up and was able to kill him. The Kedushas lady says that was their claim. You can't do it anymore, Moshe Rabbeinu. You have no ability to do things themselves. So for that, Mida Keneged Mida, you don't think Moshe can do something? Moshe does something. He creates a hole in the ground to swallow them up. And that was the Mida Keneged Mida. You don't think he can do anything? He will do it. He'll make something happen. Now, many Rishonim seem to say it. Rav Schwab, the Meshech Chachma, and Rav Hirsch seem to say it a little bit clearer, that the Midah K'nei Midah is really easy. It's just simply this. Moshe, they felt that Moshe didn't have any power to do anything that he was doing. He was getting siyata d'shmaya, and that he himself was not great in and of himself. It's just that somebody has to be the guy, so Moshe Rabbeinu was the guy. So for them, think of what that could mean to the rest of Klal Yisrael regarding the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. If Moshe is not unquestioned, if Moshe is not the absolute perfect human being who did everything in the right way, then the Torah that he wrote could be questioned. People could look at the Torah and say, well, I would have said something different. And they would have asked on the Torah, and they would have knocked out the Torah, because they would have said, I don't hold that way. I don't think that way. For that reason, says Rav Hirsch, the Meshech Chachma, and Rav Schwab, they had to die under an utterly amazing miracle that would repeat what happened at Matan Torah, so everybody would look at it and say, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like this. That was the Midah K'nei Midah. They had to see something awesome, something that they'd never seen before, so that they could understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was not like anybody else. There's no one like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chavetz Chaim says, and this is so true, you know, I once heard from Rav Shur when he came to Chicago, that the worst part of the internet, including Arias, etc., is the scoffing, the lag that comes from the internet. In other words, you make a joke about somebody, it goes around the world in seconds, and everybody's making fun of the guy. It's one little thing, you do one silly little thing, and millions of people can see you within seconds of when it happened. He said that lag, that late sunus, that comes from the internet is the worst part of the internet. But everything else is also bad, right? There might be one good thing, maybe like Torah, but let's say. But nonetheless, regardless, that's the one thing. Like, sunnis and lag is the worst, by far the worst part. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the reason why they have to be swallowed up by the ground is because to have that late sunnis around, to punish Korach, maybe by sewing up his mouth so that he could never speak ever again, you do something that's terrible to him, still nonetheless, even if you bury him, people will look at the grave and they'll say, oh, do you remember what Korach did? Korach had some good claims. Korach had some great stuff. He went up against Moshe Rabbeinu and he was close to winning. You have to see that not only is he dead, he's gone. He's completely gone, where we can't even point out a grave marker by him, says the Chafetz Chaim. That way it takes the late sunnis out completely, that such a late sun has no shaykhus to this world. It had to be that way. Sfas Emes, in Tafrei Shlamet Hei, that was the year that he wrote it, says that had Moshe not done this, Shmuel Anavi never would have come from Korach. You should know, there are people today, for example, your cousins, the Horowitzes that live in Chicago, who still claim lineage all the way back to Korach. If you can get yourself back to the Shlacha Kadosh was able to trace himself back to Shmuel Anavi. And if you can trace yourself back to them, Shmuel Anavi came from the B'nai Korach, which means Korach's children include Shmuel Anavi, the Shlacha Kadosh. There were great people that came from Korach directly, from his children, from his great-great-grandchildren. His children were involved in writing Tehillim. Asaph, which is one of the B'nai Asaph that wrote the Tehillim, was one of the sons of Korach who made it, who was able to get out of Sheol by davening and doing tshuva. That never would have happened had the late sunnis been there. The late sunnis would have been there, that wouldn't have allowed anything to happen. And therefore, such a terrible punishment had to happen so that none of his children were affected in that way, so that the children wouldn't be affected badly. The Paris Yosef says that our Mikubalim, we've done this in previous years, that connect Korach to Kayin. Anybody remember where that comes from? Kishiba Sayim, Yukum, Kayin. Kayin had three different parts, a Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. The Nefesh came back as the Ish Mitzri that was killed by Moshe. Korach was the Ruach, the jealousy that Kayin had of Hevel, right? And then there was the Neshama, there was Yisro, and he gave his daughter over to Moshe Rabbeinu to make up for Kayin stealing the wife of Hevel after Cain had killed Hevel. Regardless, this is a tikkun. What did Cain do to Hevel? He murdered him, and the body was swallowed up by the ground. So what do we have to happen? What's the tikkun? How do you make a tikkun for that? Korach, who is Cain, had to be swallowed up by the ground. That's the Midah K'nei Midah. It's an awesome Midah K'nei Midah that goes through their tikkun and through their neshamah, so to speak, to allow it to be. There is an awesome story brought down in Aleinu L'Shabeach by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein about Rav Amram Chasida. Rav Amram Chasida was a tremendous tzaddik who lived hundreds of years ago. When he was 6 years old, an Arab ran up to him and stole his talis katan that he wore on top of his clothing. He just stole his talis katan, grabbed it and ran, probably just to make fun of the kid. I don't think anybody wants that talis katan, right? But he grabbed it and ran. So the child began to cry, Rav Amram Chasida, and he wouldn't move from his place. He would not move an inch until they brought him another tzitzis, another pair of tzitzis, right, for him to go. So when they brought him the pair of tzitzis, he started moving. He cursed the Arab, little 6 year old kid, cursed the Arab and said, "I hope he gets swallowed up by the ground." So a few days later, they heard that Arab who had stolen the shirt ended up falling into a massive pit and hurting himself. Right, that's what ended up happening. Fell into a pit and hurt himself. So that's what happened. So they went to Rav Amram Chasida and they said, "What made you think of that? Why would you think of that? Why would you have thought to tell the person who stole your tzitzis to fall into a, you know, to get swallowed up by the ground? Why would that be?" Does anybody have a?
The chelas would be a garment.
Korach made fun of tzitzis. So if Korach made fun of tzitzis and he got swallowed up by the ground,
okay,
so this guy that did something wrong with tzitzis, he's also going to get swallowed up by the ground. I have no idea what that connection is. And I am welcome for an opportunity to hear what in the world the connection is to making fun of tzitzis getting swallowed up by the ground. It's one of my favorite stories in the world. There's a guy by the name of Aaron Friedman. He used to live in Chicago. He made Aliyah. He used to come to Ashir all the time. So he told me that one time he was coming from the gym, and after he finished at the gym, he was ready to go back home, and he said, "You know what? Why am I going to put on tzitzis? It's already nighttime. You're not high to wear tzitzis at night, right? So I'm just going to put on my regular clothing, and then I'm going to go home." So he didn't put on his tzitzis. He ran to Jewel to go get something right before he was going to go home. As he walks into Jewel, he sees an African-American guy who's standing right outside of Jewel, who says, "Are you Jewish?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." Aaron said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Where's your strings?" So he said, "I'm not wearing them right now. It's nighttime. Your butts are from tzitzis." And he's like, "You can't be Jewish if you're not wearing your strings. How can you be Jewish without wearing your strings? You have to wear your strings." So Aaron said he learned a tremendous lesson from that. Never, ever would he go anywhere without wearing his tzitzis. From then on, it didn't matter if it was 12 o'clock at night and he's just going outside to take out the garbage, put on his tzitzis. Go take out the garbage. You never know who you're going to meet by your garbage can. You have absolutely no idea. That tells you there's a lag and you don't want to get swallowed up by the ground. Even more so, to keep wearing tzitzis even when it seems like it's a nothing, that's something over there. So now, what exactly was the bria of the mouth of the lion? What does that mean exactly? How is that a creation? What was it exactly? See, Ibn Ezra says it was an earthquake, a simple earthquake. I personally think that the Ibn Ezra means that it's not an earthquake, right? It's really referring to a sinkhole, a regular sinkhole. An earthquake would be unlikely, but a sinkhole would make a lot of sense. Everybody knows a sinkhole is where just the land caves in and it just goes in and there's a huge hole underneath. It usually happens from salt deposits all around the Yam HaMelech. You can't walk around there because there's sinkholes everywhere. You can't just walk around the area because you know you could really get hurt by doing something like that. He says, Ibn Ezra says, it wasn't something new, though. The word bara, bria, does not mean creation. Bara also means to cut. Bara in Aramaic means to cut. So it was a cut in the land. There was a hole in the land, and that's what happened. It was just simply put, a sinkhole / earthquake, and that's it. That's what happened, and that's how they got sunk into the land itself. The Ramban says it wasn't an earthquake. We've seen earthquakes before. That's common throughout the world. That's not what we're referring to over here. What was shocking was that a mouth opened up in the land and then closed up right afterward. That's the weirdest part. Whenever there's an earthquake, the earthquake stays open and there's a crack, or there's a sinkhole, there's an opening that stays open. It never gets open like that and then closes back up. Says the Ramban, that's what happens. Usually it fills up with water, but it's not going to fill up and close itself completely. That's the idea, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya and the Ramban, of what it refers to. The Sforno says that's why it was a mouth. You ever wonder why it's called the mouth of the land? A mouth opens and closes. Opens and closes. That's why it's called. It's not called a hole in the land. It's called a mouth of the land, where it's able to open and close very, very quickly. They were all lost. No one had any idea where any of them went, and that was that. Kuni says, a little bit different. The fact was, this is the first time that anyone went down to Gehenna alive. That was the Bria. Although there have been sinkholes before, although there has been land like this, no one has ever gone to Gehenna alive like B'nai Korach. Like Korach and all of his men and Dustin Aviram, and therefore that's referring to over here. Rav Schwab also says that they went down to Gehenna alive. Since they remained alive, that might be the reason why we're able to hear their voices. And Baba Basra Ayin Dawid, Rabba Babarchano, is taken by an Arab merchant to go hear the Blue Korach. Those were swallowed up, and he could hear them singing from the ground, Moshe Emes Visoroso Emes, the Ein Badoim. We're liars, but Moshe is true and the Torah is true. Normally you can't hear what's going on in Gehenna, but you can't hear them because they're all dead. Somebody who's alive, their voices may still be able to be heard. It's even more amazing. We already said that the hole closed itself up, right? If it closed itself up, how can you hear their voices? There's no hole to hear the voices from. Somehow the voices still come through the ground, even though there's nothing there. So if you're walking through the desert, somewhere near the Sinai area, at some point, somewhere, there are voices coming out of the ground, even though there's no hole there. I'm not asking you to go look. I'm just saying that it's there somewhere.
Wait, they are still alive?
They're still alive in Gehenna right now. They're not ever going to die. Hashem gave them that koach to survive. And that even though they're in Gehenna, and even though they're in that punishment, they stayed alive the entire time. We don't know what Gehenna is. Somehow. We do have, on the flip side, we do know there are some people that went to Gan Eden alive, right? For example, we have Sarach Basasher, we have all Derech Arzuta, Perek Aleph, at the very, very end, mentions 9 or 10 people that went to Gan Eden alive. So if people can go to Gan Eden alive, perhaps people can even go to Gehenna alive. That's the shocker. That's what we have with other. That's the worst people of the Jews, but there are exceptions. And the exceptions that are given are those that don't have a chelik and a lenhava, which are mentioned in the very, very beginning, right, of Sanhedrin in the 11th parak, Parachelek, were mentioned those people like Doeg, Achitophel, right, Bilam. There are people that are not able to go any further and they stay in Gehenna forever. Now, those people are dead. There are some people who are still alive who have that ability. Now, the Malbim does say a little bit of a crazy thing. The Malbim says, he goes on a little bit more and he says, the distance of Shevet Reuven from Shevet Levi was 1 mil. The distance of Shevet Levi from the Mishkan was another mil. A mil is how much? Anybody know offhand? A mil is? It's not a mile. Not a mile. You don't have to give me in feet. I'm okay with it. It happens to be 0.52 of a mile, so I'm okay with that. It's 2,000 amos. 2,000 amos altogether. So we need to think about this for a second. Dustin and Aviram lived in Shevet Reuven. So they're right here. Okay? Korach's house was by Shevet Levi, which was 2,000 amos away. Okay? However big Shevet Levi was, then you go 2,000 amos to the Mishkan. And that's where Korach was. Where was Korach at the time? What was he doing when everybody was getting swallowed up by the ground? Come on, guys. Gotta do your Schneidecker better. Schneidecker is there. What was he doing?
Trying to battle.
He was what? No. After that. He's already enticed them. The 250 people and Korach are all sitting there burning the incense, burning the ketores, right in that area. So they're all apart. But the hole swallowed up, ready? It swallowed up Dustin and Aviram, Korach's house, and Korach. How did that hole go? How did it work? Now, my personal opinion is, something's wrong with this medrash. I'll tell you why I think it's wrong. There's something that's a little bit off. This is the pshat. Korach, you just know, somebody who's together with his wife is a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri is not allowed to be in Shevet Levi before they go to the mikvah. You have to go to the mikvah before living in Shevet Levi, which means you could not be together with your wife in Shevet Levi. Which means the wives of Shevet Levi did not live in that area. The wives of Shevet Levi must have lived among the other Shvatim. The Levim couldn't live with their wives. They couldn't be together with their wives in that area that's for Shevet Levi. So they must have been somewhere else. Which means, maybe Korach's tent with his wife and kids was all not in Shevet Levi, but it was by Shevet Reuven. So you have Dustin, Aviram, and Korach all right around together. And then the Gemara says clearly that Korach rolled into the whole. But either way, the Malbim says, how could this be? So he says the craziest job. You ready? A mouth opens and closes, right? You know how awesome this hole was? You know what the creation was? Creation was, there was a mouth that came right over here and swallowed it all up completely. All the houses of Dustin and Aviram and everything, of the tents of Dustin and Aviram, etc. Then it closed and it moved itself over. And it opened up again by Korach. Swallowed it up and closed. Then it went to Korach himself. Closed up, went further, opened up and closed. It was like a living animal, this mouth. It was like a mouth going from place to place to place. Like a massive Pac-Man that's going around and eating one thing to the next thing to the next thing and swallowing up each one, says the Malbim. That was the Bria. It showed itself in such a way. There have been sinkholes before, but there's never been a sinkhole that moved from place to place to place to place. That's the idea, says the Malbim, of why it was so new. Now, there are other answers. The Chassam Sofer, I'm not going to get into the whole question over here, but you just know, the Marsha and the Torah Tumima both asked the question, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure if this was ever created. In Bria Yivra Hashem, if God creates this hole, then good, I'll use it to swallow up dust and Aviram. And if not, we'll do something different. So was it a suffix? How did Moshe Rabbeinu not know? Didn't he know it was created? Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos? Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, one of the things was there. So the Chassam Sofer says, you know what else was created? Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos? Moshe Rabbeinu's kever. He didn't know he was going to die. So Moshe Rabbeinu never knew what was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. He was never told. And the reason he was never told is simple. He wasn't supposed to know about it. He wasn't supposed to know about it. That's what Chassam Sofer says. Now, they say their own. There's a Rav Wolfson that's out of this world that's going to take us 40 minutes. We're not going to go through it. But there's a Rav Wolfson that's absolutely unbelievable. There's Rav Yaakov going into the reason why you would create something Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. Now, we all know about Shadim, right? Shadim were created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos to show that you have work to do and you're ready to do it. Don't finish it, right? If it's Erev Shabbos right before Shabbos starts, right? And that's what we get from Shadim. That's why they weren't finished with their creation. Okay, that's that. What about all these other things? Why would you create something right before Shabbos starts? What's the point of that? It's not like there wasn't time. It's not like I cut a sparkle like, oh gosh, I forgot about this. Let me put it in here. So what's Shabbos? Why would you create something here, Shabbos Ben Hashmashos? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, once creation is over, there's going to be a natural order of things. Okay, we all understand that. A natural order behind everything. Once that happens, people are going to have issues and problems. They're going to say, how do I really know that anyone created it? Maybe God didn't do it. Maybe it created itself. You have people saying that nowadays. Naturalists, scientists, that say that no, there is no God. The world is on its own. It runs on its own. How am I going to prove to people that I created the world? For that reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made 10 things, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Each one of them prove there is a creator. One of them is the P.R.S. Korach thought that God is not in charge here. Korach thought that Moshe Rabbeinu does not have that power. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought in the P.R.S. Bilam thought he could do anything and that God is not going to care. God is not going to care about any of this. He created the mouth of the donkey of Bilam. The people of the Mabul thought that they could sin and that God wouldn't watch. So God created the rainbow. They had already been made for years and years and years. They were created at Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. They were put, but they were used in such a way that a naturalist can no longer say, oh, the world is created through nature. Now, I don't know how the rainbow works because people can still explain rainbows through nature. But the other things are crazy miracles that are able to work on their own. Okay, let's go on a little bit over here. What were the people running away from? It says, Nasu Lekolam. They ran away from the noise. What kind of noise were they running away from over here? What was happening? So Rashi says, they ran away because they heard the people being swallowed up. If you hear a massive earthquake happen, you're going to run away from that earthquake because you're scared. Simply put, that's what it seems to be. The noise that happened when they were swallowed up. That's what happens. The Mizrahi says that the coal was loud like thunder. Now, again, I have never been. Has anybody here been in an earthquake? Been in an actual earthquake? There was a tremor in Chicago not too long ago, but there was no sound or anything. I don't know if there's an actual sound in the area where the earth cracks open. If you're there, then you probably won't survive to tell me. But I don't know if there's an actual sound there. But the Mizrahi says that every earthquake, or this earthquake, had a sound that was like a clap of thunder. And the people got scared out of their mind, and they ran away. It wasn't the screams of the people that they heard that made them run away, because then they would run toward the people who are screaming to see if they could help. That's what people do. When you hear people screaming, "Help me, help me," you don't run away, you run toward them. So the fact that they ran away shows us that it must be that they were scared of the sound of the earth cracking open, and that's what ended up happening. The Be'er Basada says, I'm a Mizrahi, he says, I don't understand. Then it wouldn't be l'kolam, their voices, it would be l'kola, to its voice, the voice of the ground, the noise that the ground made when it was splitting open. Right? That's the idea behind it. Another problem with that is that Rashi's words don't fit with that pshat. Bishvil ha-kol ha-yotzei al-bliyasan. Not the noise of what happened when the earth cracked open, the noise that happened when they were swallowed up. There was no noise when they were swallowed up according to that. Because of that, by the way, the Taz switches around the gears of Rashi completely and says, Bishvil ha-kol ha-yotzei al-bliyasan. He takes out those words completely. Here's what the Be'er Basada says. There were people running away. Immediately, they saw Korach and Dustin and Aviram being swallowed up. And they said, oh my gosh, the earth is going to swallow us up. They screamed and ran away to get away from the crack in the earth. And the people heard those people screaming. Screaming, oh my gosh, the earth is going to swallow us up. So the people who were on the outskirts who couldn't see what's going on said, oh, we got to run also. So they all ran. You know, like if you're in a big crowd, all it takes is just a little person to just get up and be like, this guy is falling. And then everybody just goes crazy and everybody's running everywhere. There were people on the inside who saw what happened to Korach and Dustin Aviram getting swallowed up by the ground. They're like, the ground is swallowing them up. Run away. And the people on the outside heard their noises. The people were nasu. They ran away. L'kolam. Because of the voices of the people who saw it and wanted them to run away. That's what ended up happening over here. I'm shocked that no one got trampled. Shocked that no one got trampled by it. But that's what it is. The Nitziv seems to say that as well. However, Targum Yonas Meruzil, Chizkuni, Rabbeinu Bachaya, and the Rashbam all argue. All of them say that they were afraid of the screams of the people falling into the pit. Listen to Targum Yonas Meruzil. As they were falling in the pit, they called out loud. Again, I don't know how this happened because the earth was covered up afterward. Called out and said, Hashem is correct. Our punishment is just. All the laws of Moshe are true. We are evil for rebelling against Him. All the people were saying that as they were falling down. When the Jews heard these voices, they ran the other way because they were afraid that they thought the same thing as well. They might not have done anything, but they thought the same way, and because their thoughts were like that, they didn't want to get swallowed up by that. The Yalkut Shimoni says that Dustin and Aviram, good old Dustin and Aviram, were screaming and begging for mercy that they shouldn't be swallowed up by the ground. They were screaming for mercy from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what they were doing. That's how they end up translating. So why were the people running away? From the people screaming in the pit, Moshe's true, we were wrong, and they felt guilty as well. The Kli Yakar still says, you're messed up. The Pasuk says, Nasu Likolam. They ran to their voices, not away. That would be Nikolam, not to their voices. What does that mean? So the Kli Yakar says the exact opposite. And the people ran, they heard what was going on, and they said, what's going on there? Come on, we'd all be a lot curious. If something like that happened, there was a huge noise, and the earth opened up, and the people were swallowed up, yes, there will be people who will be like, run away from the pit. But most people are going to be like, but what pit? That's what it is. If somebody tells me, run away, there's a pit over there that's swallowing people up, you know you're going to look. It's like I tell everybody, don't look over there, it's Pritzus. Everybody's like, where? You don't mean to. It just happens to be. What? Right, Chivitz Chashud. Right, everybody comes as close as you possibly can, right? You don't mean to, it's just automatic human nature. Says the Kli Yakar, that's exactly what happened. They all ran to the noise, against Rashi. Against Rashi, they ran to the noise, not away from the noise itself. Then comes the Tosfos Yom Tov. I've never heard such a Chiddush. Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishnah Vav. He says, three Akdamos. Number one, the word says upatsta and then upascha. Why does it say those two words? Number two, sha'ola seems to have an extra hey. It should be sha'ol. Number three, when you hear people yelling oive, usually run to go help them, not run away. Those are the three things he says. He says the other thing. The coal coming from the ground was not people. But it wasn't the ground opening up either. You know what it was? What are the other two pez that we know about. The other two mouths that we know that God created in Erev Shabbos Banish Moshes. One of them I already mentioned, the mouth of the
donkey
of Bilam. What was the third? Anybody remember what the third was? The mouth of the Be'er, the well of Miriam, from the rock where the waters came from that rock. Says it was Yom Tif. We all know the mouth of the donkey did what? What did the mouth of the donkey do?
Spoke.
Was able to talk, right? The mouth of the Be'er also talked. There was a Shiras Be'er that wasn't sung by Bnei Yisrael, it was sung by the rock itself. The rock opened up its mouth and sang. See what he says? The ground opened up its mouth and spoke to the people. And it said, I am going to swallow up these people because they're evil. And then it swallowed up the people. Now it's one thing to get swallowed up by the earth. It's another thing for the ground to talk as it's opening up its mouth to swallow up the people. The people were not only shocked, they were scared out of their minds. They'd never heard the earth speak. And the earth, I'm assuming, has a very deep voice. And it was shocking to everyone. No one had any idea what to do. Did you just hear that? Did you hear the ground? They ran. They just ran. They got as far away as they could. So yes, the earth opened up and swallowed them up. But before it talked, that was an even bigger shocker. That's what the Tos Yom Tov says. It's an amazing, amazing Kiddush. Okay, you should just know, by the way, there's a mug in Abram in Tzadi Aleph, in Tzadi Ches, I'm sorry, it's brought down by the parties as in the time in Hagen, page 565, that if you have bad thoughts in your Shemoneh Esrei, if you have thoughts that come into your head, you can do this for Mara tonight. If you have bad thoughts that come into your head, you should say this. Say P-P-P. I know that we know English, that doesn't sound like the nicest thing in the world to say. But he says if you say those three words, P-P-P, during your Shemoneh Esrei, now, others say you shouldn't say it because you're in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei. But if you do it, you will not have any bad thoughts.
Say it out loud.
Say it out loud, according to that pshat in the Magen Avraham. Now, we don't because you don't say it out loud. But you say those words, PPP, you will no longer have it. Says the Parties Yosef, he says it's possible, Tamin Adam says this as well, it's possible it comes from the three mouths that were opened up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the connection, but he doesn't know exactly what the connection is. Okay. I don't think we're going to be able to finish all of this off over here. I'm just going to bring down something that's a little bit over there. We do have a little bit from the Chassam Sofer, etc., and the Paneach Raza. There's Rav Wolfson over here. The words of Tshuva called out and made them think. I'm just going to say, by the way, Likolam, you ready for this? Likolam. Okay? Lamed Kuf Lamed Mem. If you take that word, you could say Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. As well as Uvnei Korach Lo Mesu. That's Kolam. Kuf Vav Lamed Mem. Uvnei Korach Lo Mesu. The first letters could refer to that. That's Rav Wolfson. He goes into a whole thing about that, and that's that. But I just want to say, I want to end off with this. The power of tefillah is very, very great. Some people say that when they said Nasu L'Kolam, they ran to the noise. No. They ran to their voices. What did that mean? They ran to go daven. When they saw there was a yid in pain, when they saw there was a Jew that got swallowed up by the ground, the people sat there and said, we have to daven. We have to ask Hashem for mercy. And maybe it wasn't only the Bnei Korach that did tshuva that allowed them to be saved. Maybe it's that the people davened at that moment and they said, Nasu L'Kolam, they ran to their voices to say, Akol Kol Yaakov, Hashem, please save these people. And they were able to save the Bnei Korach. Maybe that's why they got saved. And that's the idea the party goes up in Yikarim say. That's the reason why they ended up being saved from that area. Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein once asked Rav Eliashiv, his father-in-law, why Shmuel Anavi was going to be killed. Remember Shmuel Anavi was almost killed when he was 3 years old? Anybody know what happened? He came to the Mishkan, sat by Eli HaKohen, right? And he was about to be killed, and Chana davened. Chana said, please don't kill my child. Why was he going to be killed? What did he do wrong? You know what he paskened? That Yisrael can shecht in the Mishkan. Not just the Kohen, but Yisrael can shecht. That's the psak. He paskened that at the age of 3. And Eli said, you're chayiv misa, you just paskened in front of me. Chayiv misa, he's 3, said Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein. He's 3. How in the world can you kill him at 3? And if you have a 3-year-old that's that smart, you want to kill this kid?
Asking that, or that was the halacha? He just said the halacha.
He told Eli that that's the psak. Isn't the halacha that Yisrael zor sheshochat kosher? I'm sorry?
How's that possible?
Just like anything else. The Rebbe says something and you say, no, that's not the halacha. The halacha is like this. meaning he said a psak. He said a psak of Zor Shishokat, Yochai, that person would be good enough. So what's the problem? So Rabbi Yashav answered Rabbi Zizor, listen to this answer. Rabbi Yashav answered Rabbi Zizor and said he was afraid he would be another Korach, a genius who knew everything in Torah, but is willing to argue with his master. If he's willing to argue with his master at the age of 3, what do you think he's going to be like when he's 20, when he's 30, when he's 40? He didn't want another Korach. So Rabbi Zilberstein said, that's pretty good. So why didn't he die? Why wasn't he Korach? Right? I mean, he should have been then. You argue at the age of 3, for sure you can argue at the age of 20, but we don't see Shmuel and Avi ever argue on Eli ever again. Why not? Chana said to Eli, Elanar hazehi spalalti. I davened for this kid. There's no way this child will be evil. If you daven for a child, and the child is born through your tefillah, it's impossible for him to be Korach. Impossible, said Chana. Because such an evil kid cannot come from tefillah. It's impossible. What a crazy line. And therefore she was sure nothing bad would ever happen to him. So to go over, guys, we just did very quickly. We went over all the reasons, the mita keneged mitas that happened, why Korach ended up happening something like this. We then went into the Bria. What was the Bria? We gave 8 answers as to what the Bria was, the creation was. And then we answered, why did the people run? What did they run from? What were they running to? What was going on over here? And we gave 8 answers for that as well. So guys, have a great rest of the week.